Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 149, beginning at verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege we have of being able to worship you and praise and thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for the privilege of being able to walk with you and serve you and follow you each and every day. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be blessed and empowered as we live a life full of praise and thanksgiving. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, and empower us to live every day understanding it. Giving you thanks, praise, glory, and honor, again, can bless you, but greatly blesses us as we live lives full of worship and praise. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we love you today, and we know it's because you first loved us. We lift high your name. We exalt you today. Father, we're thankful for the gift of music that you use to stir our hearts. You use to encourage us. You use to bring glory to yourself. Thank you for that. We pray for this broadcast today that it will bring you much honor and will be an encouragement to our listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Once again, I want to remind you, we're encouraging every listener to take time to pray for our nation, to pray for America. The American Family Association's President, Tim Wildman, is asking that you join AFA in a season of prevailing prayer for our nation. Tim is convinced that only prayer and repentance will truly heal our land. And he cites Hebrews 4:16 that says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Please take time to go to the website, afa.net, and please sign the petition that lets us know that you're joining the American Family Association in this season of prevailing prayer for America. Again, the website afa.net to go and sign the petition. Hope you'll take time to do that. We are blessed and honored to have some special guests with us today, Steve and Shirley Reese of the ministry. I'm going to try to pronounce it Peregrinati. I may or may not have gotten it correctly, but we're grateful to have them. And they're going to tell us about the work they do. They're musicians, amongst other things. Steve and Shirley, how are you all today?
Oh, we're great. You did great on the pronunciation. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you all for taking the time to be with us. And if you would take a few moments and share with our listeners who you are and the ministry that God has called you to.
Well, we are the Peregrinati, and we kind of add to that to make it easier, Harpin's story, which really describes what we do. It's interesting. We had developed a mission statement. We said that the Bible has been relegated to dry and dusty irrelevancy and become a fluid document shifting to meet the current cultural norms, the collapse of biblical morals, the disintegration of the family, and the loss of integrity of, for all of a society in which the Word of God has ceased to be a standard of life. Harp and Story, us, the Paragonati, our mission is to bring Scripture to life and relevancy. Music is what feelings sound like, and I really appreciated Rick's prayer in which he said that the sound of the music stirring the heart, and we see that with David in the book of Samuel, where he played for Saul, and it even sent a troubling spirit away. The harp expresses the emotion of the story, as Shirley tells the story with beautiful dramatic, so that people at the end of her story say, oh, that was like watching a movie. And our prayer is that the truths that we are expressing, the music and the story, will grow and produce much fruit in the for glory of the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And that's why we go around. We just believe that that's what the Father has sent us to do, is to take those black marks on white pages and make them come to life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you play the harp, and you play music as Shirley tells Bible stories, and is that right?
Right. I take characters from Scripture, and like I tell people, it's like I've given you a brand new coloring book full of black outlines of pictures, and we're just going to pick up the crayons and start coloring in the pictures. So take the character, and I like to work with characters who had an interaction with Jesus, and just build a scene around them so the people who listen to the story feel like they're in the story, that they're walking those dry and dusty roads, that they're sitting on the hillside, that they're seeing the widow of Nain's son raised to life. Mm-hmm. And in that, they see themselves. It's my one story, Peter's Restoration, when we were having it filmed, the man behind the camera, I watched him. He was crying at the telling of the story. And at the end of it, he said, I think we probably all have found ourselves, in Caiaphas's courtyard, like Peter denying that he knew the Lord, mm-hmm. all of us at one time or another. And that's what's real. And so you can read the story in the Bible, but what we do helps make that Bible story real for mm-hmm. you, real mm-hmm. for me.
Okay. Okay, well, as we get started, I'm going to take time now. We're going to play one of the selections, Steve, that you've done entitled Psalm 23 on the harp, and then we'll pick up on the other side. This is Psalm 23. Beautiful selection by Steve Reese on the harp, entitled Psalm 23. Steve, tell us, how did you come to learn to play the harp?
Well, that's totally a Holy Spirit gifting that, once again, Psalm 139, when I was in darkness in my mother's womb, the Father was knitting me together. And one of the things he knit into me was was a gift of music. I took piano as a kid, but I never did real well with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always in choirs. I could always pick up a guitar and figure some things out. I could pick a flute up and play things. But I never really applied myself very well, which was, you know, the Father took me to task on that later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But at 45 years old, he just planted in my heart this desire. I made a harp, a little 26 string, and I started playing around with it. And within a year, I was finally what I call brave enough to let people hear me.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that has taken place since then has been totally gifted from the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
And then what you're hearing was Psalm 23. In 2006, I'm a registered nurse, and I would take my little harp in and play for my patients on hemodialysis treatments, which is about a three-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing amazing things happen physiologically with them. And then I'm reading in Samuel that David played for King Saul, and that spirit was left. And so I started asking, what did David's music sound like?
Mm-hmm.
And that led me on a search where I think I've found some really strong connections between the actual Hebrew text of David's Psalms mm-hmm. and musical notes that I've turned into the like Psalm 23 there comes out of direct link between musical notes and the Hebrew text of David's Psalm 23. So that's why I've titled it with the Psalm's name, because I really believe it's his music that's coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's neat. That's a powerful insight to gain as well, too. So I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for believers to grow in the understanding of the vital place that music is to have in our lives, and music in relation to worship in our lives, too. Would you pray for believers in that regard?
Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray for those even now listening to this broadcast, Father, that there could be a special understanding of how important music, praise, worship, the word shir in Hebrew for singing, how important that is to our Heavenly Father. First of all, it connects us with Him, but it connects Him with us. And I believe it's also how He even creates is through singing His words. So, Father, I would just ask that you would just bring this understanding to and how important it is to engage in this act of praise. Like Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise our Heavenly Father. So Father, just help that to be so alive and true within the hearers' hearts and minds. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, and so Steve, if someone would like to get some of your music or would like to learn more about your ministry and the work you do, how would they do that?
Well, we have two websites. One for the harp music is called Calming Harp, CalmingHarp.com. And then for our ministry, we have a lot of our stories on there that you can download for free. It's harpandstory.com. So we have both of those websites available for people to connect with us.
Okay, so if people would like to order the harp music, they can do it going to the website then, correct?
Yes, I have CDs or MP3s that you can download either way.
All right. And in a few moments, we'll be in the next segment. We're going to be talking to you about just a special work that you and Sister Shirley will be doing, a special tour that you'll be involved in. So we'll look forward to learning more about that. Our phone guests today are Steve and Shirley Reese of Peregrinati, and we'll be right back after this break.
Speaking.
Music of Mandisa, God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Steve and Shirley Reese, and they're involved in a wonderful and a powerful ministry called Harp and Story, with a couple other names as well. Steve and Shirley, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll share your website information one more time, and then we want you to tell us about a tour that you all are about to embark upon.
Okay. The websites, once again, are harpandstory.com. And a lot of Shirley's stories are on there. We even have a few videos. And then my harp music is on calmingharp.com. Okay. And so there's CDs that are available and MP3 that you can download. And I've got a lot of free music samples and stuff on there as well. So it's all a lot of stuff. And I've written a lot of articles, too. So it's all a bunch of stuff there.
Okay. And so you're about to embark upon an important ministry tour. Tell our listeners about that ministry tour.
Okay, I'll share about that. It's we're calling it America's 7,000 Tour. And the reason that we're calling it that is because when Elijah went running from Jezebel, and he was feeling all sorry for himself, and then God started talking to him up there on that mountain, and Elijah was complaining. He said, "I'm the only one left. Everybody else is just nothing. I'm the only one left." And God came back and said, "Elijah, I still have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal." And last fall, we believe Yahweh, well, God through His Holy Spirit started talking to us about Amalek. So we started doing some research about Amalek, and there's a story in Exodus chapter 17 where the children of Israel are in battle against Amalek, and Joshua's leading the armies, and Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' arms until the Israelites have the victory. But it goes on to say that from generation to generation, I will have war with Amalek. And now we look at Amalek as those troublers of God's set-apart ones, His children. And even when you go into the book of Esther, Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites, and his whole thing was to destroy all the Jewish people. And I do believe the Holy Spirit was saying, "I want you to take another look at Amalek, because this spirit has grown way too strong." And then there was a vision from a pastor who's in an intercessory prayer meeting in Australia, and they were praying for America. And the Holy Spirit gave him a vision, and in the vision he saw two huge granite beams standing on the United States, and they were clashing with each other, and all of the debris and the shrapnel was falling all over the country. And the name of the one was hatred, and the name of the other one was fear. And then there was this small white being that came in between the two of them with arms outstretched. And as long as that white being was standing that ground, those two, hate and fear, couldn't clash. And revival could spring out of that. And all of this started coming to us last about Amalek last fall, and then we felt the Father say, "I want you to go back to the capitals like you did in 2008, and just worship me until heaven opens, and declare my name and praises for me." And you know, with dance and flags and banners and all that sort of thing. So June 17 will be in Jackson, Mississippi, and then going on to Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. And All 48 states will be in with Washington, D.C. on Election Day. And you can find the tour schedule at harpenstory.com/events, has the dates for each state. And as we get locations, we'll post those. But don't worry about the location. If you want to come, that will be, sometimes it might be the day of, but at least you know the city, the capital, where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to ask, Shirley, at this time, would you take a moment to pray for the church to grow in the understanding of the importance of the truths you were sharing about the church and Amalek, the Amalekites, what they did as well? Us being wise and understanding spiritual warfare and how the kingdom of darkness works against us is so important. Pray for the church in that regard, please.
Father, thank you for this opportunity just to be one of your witnesses out of which your rivers of living water flow. Father, we just pray that you will be wisdom and discernment and understanding for each person listening to this radio broadcast and how important it is to understand Ezekiel 22, verse 30, where God says, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found," the scripture says, "none." Abba, I pray that that would not be the case here. I pray that there would be people that you would plant deep in their spirit this unction to get up and stand for your truth and your righteousness and your goodness. That, Abba, we know that we don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against the spiritual rulers of darkness. That the spirit of Amalek comes on nations and comes on people and causes them to do things that are not for the glory of your kingdom. And sometimes we get so involved in looking on a horizontal plane that we forget to look vertically to see what you want, to see where you are. And we know, Father, that you are the one who holds us in the palm of your hand and has said that you will not allow the enemy to snatch us away. And Abba, to take that fear, this oppressiveness of fear, and push it back so that we could breathe, to take this oppressive spirit of hatred and push it back so we can see our brothers and sisters, fellow sojourners on this earth through your eyes, that what is happening is not a flesh and blood battle. We cannot take it into flesh and blood because we are all your children. We're all your children, and so we pray, Abba, we pray for open eyes to see and open ears to hear, that we might be who you created us to be so that we can do all that you have for us to do. And we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and gifting each one of us with your spirit of discernment and wisdom and understanding. In the name of our precious Savior, Jesus, we thank you for answering this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Shirley. I'm going to take a moment now. Specifically, I'm reading from Exodus 17, starting at verse 8. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. So Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to seek you, to hear your voice, to hear your word, to obey your word. And you also call us to be an interceding church, a church given to prayer. Help us to recognize, Lord, that time and time again, it's so important that we grasp that the battles are fought and won in the heavenlies. And as we, your people, pray and intercede, there's so much that can and will be done as your people are praying. And help us to keep our focus on you rather than on the battle, the flesh and blood battles we see around us. Thank you for the fact that we can trust you and look to you always. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to play another selection. And Shirley, you're going to share a portion of one of the stories you share. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Listening to the Hour of Intercession. This particular selection by Steve Reese is entitled Psalm 27, and we want to encourage you to take time to be sure and pray for Steve and Shirley as they're about to embark upon a ministry tour in which they'll be ministering in different states, and I believe all 50 states of the nation over a period of months. The tour is entitled America 7000 Tour. Pray for them. Pray for God to use it to really impact every community, every state where they're being. And let's remember to pray for the church, as we've been speaking of as well. The church needs prayer as we recognize the need for us to be an interceding and a praying church continually. Father, thank you again for this tour. Thank you for Steve and Shirley. Thank you for the work and the ministry you've called them to. Anoint them with a fresh and mighty anointing. Use them mightily for your glory and the building of your kingdom. Use the tour to just set your church on fire in an even greater way. And more stir us to be an obedient people that are hearers and doers of your word. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of boldness and courage. Help us to rise up and be the bold church you want us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests are Steve and Shirley Reese. We'll be right back.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
The music of Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Steve and Shirley Reese and the Ministry Harp and Story. And Steve, would you share with our listeners once again, if they want to get some of the harp music that you minister through, how could they do that?
We have a website for the harp that's called www.calmingharp.com. If you listen to the harp, it makes you calm. So, okay. And then our other website that has Shirley's stories is harpandstory.com. It also has the schedule for the tour that we're doing, the America 7000 tour. Mm-hmm. And I will also put in a little plug for Shirley, and she'll probably talk about this, but she has taken one of her stories, the shepherd story, and put it into a book form for children to read to their kids or grandparents to read to their grandkids. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Shirley take it from there.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Well, Shirley, just before we do that, let me mention once again, I wanted to ask this question. If people want to join you all on tour in the places you'll be going to, is that something they can do?
Yes. Please.
Please.
Okay. So if they just go to the website, they'll be able to find out where you'll be and the time and that sort of thing, right?
Right. harpandstory.com/events has the dates when we'll be in each state capital. The time is from 4 to 7. And then the locations, we don't have all of those yet, but as we go, we will.
Okay. All righty then.
And then you can always also on Facebook, America 7000, so facebook.com/America7000 without the apostrophe. Mm-hmm. And the other one is facebook.com/ 71 Longview or Flash Prayer.
Okay. All right. Okay, then. So were you going to say something further about the book?
Right. I am starting to take my stories and make them 8x10 picture books. Mm-hmm. That parents and grandparents can read to their children. They're full-color, beautiful illustrations. And in the back, I have additional thoughts that it helps parents and grandparents answer some questions that children have. I did this because I found a statistic that said 60% of our young people between the ages of 14 and 23 leave their faith. And the primary answer was because they have questions that no one seems to be able to answer. Mm-hmm. So I put this additional thought at the end of my book so parents can or grandparents can go through that. And when their child says, well, what about, they can look back there and go, oh, here, I can explain it this way instead of saying, well, I don't know, or it is just because it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, again, at this time, we're going to play another selection entitled Psalm 91. And Shirley, you're going to go ahead and tell us one of your stories then, right?
Are you ready?
Yes, go right ahead.
This is the very first story that I ever wrote in this style, and it is also the children's book.
Mm-hmm.
So may you all be blessed by what you hear. It was the fall of the year, the time of the great feast. My fellow shepherds and I had brought our sheep down from the hills to hold them in a designated pasture outside Jerusalem. We rarely ventured close to the towns except for the feast days, when we knew extra lambs would be needed for the sacrifices. We were lonely men, used to the high, wild lands where we cared for our flocks. But one night, an amazing thing happened that has forever changed my life. This is the shepherd's story. We were sitting around a fire we had made, just big enough to take the chill off the night. Only old Thomas was asleep. The rest of us were quietly sharing conversation. The stars were so bright that night, it almost seemed like you could reach up and touch them. I was lying back against the log I'd chosen for my pillow, listening to the low hum of voices, when suddenly the night became like the day. The brightness blinded our eyes. Terrified, we fell to the ground like dead men. Then the light spoke to us. Do not be afraid, it said. I say the light spoke because none of us had dared to look up or even open our eyes to see what might be making this awful bright light. We could hear the sound of the words as the voice fell on our ears like gentle warm rain on a spring day. Again, I heard the voice say, do not be afraid. For I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. From some courage stored way down in the tips of my toes, I think, I mustered a tiny peek through the cracks between my fingers to see if I could find the source of that voice. You have to understand, I was so scared. I was petrified. My mouth was so dry, I could not swallow. There was no strength in my body to do more than lay on the ground like a downed tree. But I saw it, a being so magnificent that once having looked upon it, I could not draw my eyes away. Not that I wanted to, mind you. I heard the being speak, and again, its voice washed over me in such sublime ecstasy, both soothing and exciting my soul. Today, a baby has been born to you, the Savior. He is Christ, the Lord. I heard the words. I saw the heavenly messenger, for how could it be anything else? but I remained prostrate on the ground. My companions were in similar positions. The angel seemed almost desperate for us to understand. Here, we were illiterate vagabonds, not schooled men of the temple. We were aware of the prophecies concerning the Messiah, but there had been a lot of Messiah claims lately. Could it be this was the real one? The heavenly messenger seemed to read our thoughts, for he said, "Men of the wild places, I will give you a sign. In the town of David, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly the hillside was set alight by a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing and praising God. The notes of their music washed over us in wave after wave of the most divine beauty. Their music filled the heavens and the hillsides echoed back their song. I can no more describe the incredible beauty of that night than I can hold the world in my hands. Over and over again they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all mankind." Oh, what a sight. And then they were gone. We remained prostrate on the ground for some time. You have to understand it takes a while for terrified bodies and overwhelmed minds to begin functioning again. Old Thomas, who had been asleep when this whole thing began, but certainly had not remained that way, was the first one to speak. "I think we should go to Davidstown and see this thing the angel has told us about," he said. Like one, strength flowed back into our bodies, and we got up and hurried off to Bethlehem. Our only thought was to find the babe in Davidstown. God took care of the sheep that night. And that's where I'll stop. And if you want to hear the rest, you can go to harpandstory.com, and it's right there.
All right. Thank you. That was a beautiful, beautiful rendition of that powerful story from the Word of God. Again, our phone guests today are Steve and Shirley Reese of the ministry Harp and Story. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're going to listen further to this particular portion of Psalm 91. Steve, our time is almost gone. I want to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for the church before our time ends today. Would you lift up the church in prayer, please?
Oh, Father, we are here sitting on in this place, in this time in history, momentous times and prophetic times. And Father, you have raised your church to be your witness on the face of this earth. And Father, I would just pray for strength today. Strength within your church to stand, to raise up their arms like Moses did in the battle against Amalek, to raise their arms in praise, to step forward and be a spokesperson for you, Father, instead of staying in the background and going, I hope nobody notices. Father, it's time for us to take our place now more than ever. And I just pray for the strength, the wisdom, the courage for each one of us. I include myself. I'm like Daniel in chapter 9. We have sinned. We all have turned away from what you have called us to do. And Father, I want to join like Daniel and say, Father, we don't ask for this favor because of who we are, but because of who you are. And Father, as we close this time, I just ask once more to pray this prayer. If your people who are called by your name, now this is your people, that means your church, who are called by your name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek your face and pray that you will hear and you will heal the land. Heal our land. That is our prayer this morning. We praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Steve and Shirley, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to being in touch with you as you get underway with the tour. So thank you all for being with us today, okay?
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We ask that you pray for Steve and Shirley as they embark upon this America 7000 tour. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.